Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Biblical Woman Podcast. I'm Kat.
I'm Nicole.
Oh, sorry. Okay, so you're going to do it then. Okay, gotcha.
Oh, my goodness. No, that's awesome. So with this new season, guys, Nicole and I are trying some new things. And, you know, this is just the realities of podcasting. Not editing it. Nicole and I have been doing this for 2 years now. So, you know, once you get in the habit and the routine of things, it kind of just sticks. We're trying out some new things this season. My name is Kat. If you've never listened to the show before, I am a extroverted introvert, Bible student. And if you are watching the video, I do have a massive collection of nerdy things. I am a mega nerd.
Okay. And I am Nicole, your consistently dark chocolate eating, coffee drinking, classic fiction reading friend.
Dark chocolate sounds really good.
I've had like 3 pieces already today.
What? See, this is why we need to be neighbors, because then, you know, you can share it with me. Mm-hmm. See the logic here?
Yeah, I know.
Well, welcome back, guys. And if you are here for the first time, thank you so much for being here. You know, it's been a minute since we've gotten together to record. So Nicole and I are kicking off this season with a really important topic, something that is kind of hush-hush for some reason within the church. It doesn't get a lot of attention, but it absolutely needs to. We need to be talking about this. We need women talking about this. And like I said in the disclaimer before this episode, this may or may not be suitable for all ears. In the past episodes leading up to this, you know, we've talked about feminism. We've talked about biblical womanhood with Girl Defined. You know, what does the Bible say about being a godly woman, a Christian woman, versus what we have the world telling us? And in my mind, when I have those two topics and today's topic, I see the logic. So without further ado, we're going to be talking about pornography, especially when it comes to Christian women. The way my crazy brain connects these things is that the world is out here selling us lies, selling lies to us, to our daughters, that in order to be loved, in order to be accepted, you know, they have to either A, create pornography, because that is becoming more and more acceptable in our society, or B, be fine that their spouse or their partner is watching this type of content, or C, that it's totally okay for they themselves to consume pornographic material.
Yeah. So I think you are right on with the way that those two topics interrelate to one another. So, man, if you guys have not listened to those past episodes, please go back and listen. It was such a joy to have Bethany from Girl Defined with us. And just the episode that we did, the two of us together on that topic, was one of my favorites. So I am excited to dive into this topic today.
Same. I am so excited. And I feel like, you know, whenever we start to talk about sex, you know, one of the things that I feel like we always need to throw this out there is that, you know, God designed sex. Sex in and of itself is not a bad thing. He created it. He created human relationships. Within the first couple chapters of Genesis, we see the first marriage happen. So sex is not a bad thing. However, you know, it needs to be practiced within the boundaries that God has set. And when we choose to practice it outside of those boundaries, that's when it becomes sin. So as Christians, you know, we are called to have purity. We are called to be pure in both our body and our soul. And, you know, for me, I go back to what Jesus said in Matthew, because this passage was probably really shocking for the people who were listening to him speak, because they have kept the law. They've done all of these things. And then Jesus takes it a step further and he's like, oh, okay, you've never slept with that woman, but you've lusted after her. And that's still a sin. So Jesus tells us that purity is not just behaving within a, you know, rigid set of rules, but rather it's how we're thinking about something, how we are feeling about something. Purity has a lot of different aspects, and it cannot just be limited to this, you know, rigid set of rules.
Right. And I think this is an important topic to consider even within marriage. I think sometimes we think about, oh yeah, the struggle with purity is when you're dating or when you're single, mm-hmm. but it is absolutely for married couples as well.
Absolutely. And you're right. For some reason, there seems to be this disconnect with us. And maybe in all fairness to us, that's because people aren't talking about this. The church has been really quiet on these things. The church has been very vocal about pornography usage among men. But for some reason, we aren't talking about it when it comes to women. How do we feel about practicing sexual purity? You know, are we finding ways to kind of push the envelope with how we dress or how we act? You know, do a self-evaluation and ask what our thoughts look like, as scary as that sounds. Because the truth is, you know, we may be able to deceive others by presenting a pure exterior, but we can't fool God, you know. We can't hide our minds and hearts from him. So on the outside, someone is able to deceive others that they are just a very pure person, when in reality, you know, they are wrestling with sexual sin and they are being broken and beaten by this. And, you know, this is one of the reasons when it comes to pornography and its usage and creation among women that we need to talk about this, because there are so many women through the past couple decades who felt shamed for asking for help. They had no one to go to talk about, hey, I'm struggling with this and I just need help. There was no one for them to go to. So by us starting this conversation and acknowledging that, yes, this is a problem for Christian women too, we are able to help our Christian sisters. We are able to form accountability, and we are able to bear one another's burdens in this way, which is why talking about this is so, so important.
Yeah, I feel like I don't even have anything to add to all of that. Yeah, 100% agree.
Yes, that's it. That's it, girl.
Keep going. Keep going.
Oh my goodness. Well, my background is technically biology, and I wanted to take a moment to talk about the bold-faced lie that we are often told that pornography doesn't hurt anybody. I wanted to pause for a second and present the scientific and biological evidence of why you as an individual should avoid pornography at all costs. Please keep in mind that when I read these statistics to you, that these are all secular studies. These are done by people who are not Christians, who do not come from a religious background. All of this is secular science. Over the years, they have identified over 48 different ways in which pornography negatively impacts the user or the consumer, which is insane. Like 48 different ways which it can harm you. So yeah. Just to throw these out there really quick, we see that people who consume pornography have poorer mental and emotional health. They have increased loneliness, more likely to engage in delinquent behavior and substance use, increased aggression, decreased self-worth, increased paranoid thinking, an increased chance of not having a committed relationship, decreased life satisfaction, decreased confidence, decreased body image, and so much more. All of these are just different ways in which pornography just rips apart the person consuming it.
That and so shocking to hear those statistics, you know. But I was thinking, I'm like, man, if it was like somebody said, okay, if you eat this particular food, these are going to be the effects, we would probably avoid that food at all costs. But sexuality is something that is just so different than food. And so even though we know that and we can hear and we maybe even feel those effects take place in our own life, I think it's something that is, because of the biology and the brain and how that works, it's something that has such power that even though you know it's so bad for you, like that you keep doing it despite that. Like that to me shows the power. And I say the same thing about substance use, like drugs or alcohol, mm-hmm. right? Like that's the power of it, that you keep using even though it's causing you all these problems.
Right, right. Pornography can become an addiction just like alcohol or drugs. Like you said, it can be so hard to fight against these things, which is why talking about it just as the church can create an environment where women feel like they can go to one another and say, hey, I really need your help. I really need you to pray for me. I need an accountability partner. Like, are there resources out there for me? This is why it's important for us to talk about these things. Even though there's all this science saying, hey, porn is really bad, don't do it. It's still hard for us to fight against it. Pornography goes against God's design because sex was a good thing that was created to be shared between a husband and a wife. And pornography, when you, you know, boil it down to the root, it is lusting after a person who is not your spouse. Our bodies were not meant to indulge in sexual sins. We were created to serve the Lord. We were created to glorify Him and live a life that brings Him honor and glory.
Yeah, and I think it's important to point out that the devious feelings or thoughts in our minds, the actions that we want to do, like those desires are a result of the fall.
Right, and we have to recognize that we were created for so much more. You know, our body is not meant to partake in these sinful actions. You are called to serve God in whatever He has called you to do. And Christ desires for us to love Him more than anything, more than ourselves even, which means more than our sinful natures. So viewing pornography is knowingly committing the sin of idolatry, because in that moment, you know, we are saying, hey, you know what? I value my own sin and my own sexual desires over God. So if we truly love God, then we will reflect that love by following His design for sex. And Jesus died for us. So as believers, we are called to be holy like God is holy. And as we start becoming more like Christ in our words, in our deeds, in our thoughts, we are glorifying God, which is so cool.
Yeah. And man, sometimes people might look at what we're talking about and just think that, oh, the sexuality, the way that you're talking about this topic is so restricting, right? But it's the opposite. Like the way that God has created sex is the most freeing of all of the options that exist in the world today, right?
Right.
And I just think that's an important thing to remember, because sometimes we hold on so tightly to these things that we don't want to give up because it feels like a loss of freedom, but really, like, it's we gain freedom by following His word.
Right. And so my response to someone who says, well, the biblical view of sex and pornography is restrictive, my immediate response to that person outside of scripture is going to be, well, this is what the secular science says. It is extremely destructive on an individual to consume pornography. And it's almost like God created us and He knows what's best for us.
Yeah,
it's crazy, like, how that works.
Crazy when, you know, research backs up everything that's laid out in scripture.
I know, right? Oh my goodness. I think another reason that pornography is really bad is that Christians, we are called to love and respect others. And, you know, going back to Genesis, we see that every single person on the planet who has ever lived and who will ever live, they've all been made in the image of God. So when you are viewing pornography, you are sinning against another person who is made in the image of God. So, you know, whether this is someone asking for nude pictures of someone or whatever, you know, that's stealing something that was not meant for us, but rather that was meant for their spouse. I got to throw this out there, Nicole, because I feel like women today are facing a unique pressure that really has just broken into the scene. And that's this pressure on women, married and unmarried, young and old, to create pornographic materials. whether that's like through art, taking pictures of your body, texting, OnlyFans. There is such a pressure to create these types of things. It's just become so normalized, which is weird to me.
Well, it's been packaged as empowerment, right? I mean, to kind of link it back to some of our other episodes, right? Yeah, that's part of how you show your femininity and your feminine power, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and really, if you think about it, I guess like, I feel like even a decade ago, you know, you had to have a professional studio. You had to have all of this like professional equipment in order to make porn. But now everybody has a smartphone. And so what are we telling young women? What are we telling all of us, the rest of us, the adults?
Right. Well, yeah, definitely with the, you know, technology, cell phones, all of that, of course, have just exploded the market for pornography. So I have to tell you this short story real quick. So when I was doing this, I was in charge of a group at where I used to work for teen girls. Anyways, our summer group, we were doing a whole unit on like internet safety and social media and whatnot. And so the girls were talking about like how many times a day that these boys are like asking them for nudes. Like, so we're having this whole conversation. And one of the girls was like, so Nicole, when you were a teenager, like, did that happen to you? And I'm like, listen, I am old. So we did not have cell phones. If somebody, like if a boy wanted a picture of me, like they were gonna, it was gonna have to be taken on a camera where you like then have to take it to CVS to get it developed. Like nobody was doing this. Like maybe some people, but like not many, or maybe you had a Polaroid. Okay. But like, no, it was not a thing. Not like it is today.
But that's what's so crazy is that committing sexual sin has become so easy and just so normalized within our culture. And kind of building off the point that you just said, Nicole, talking about these young girls who are just doing their own thing and being approached by men online for pictures, we also have to acknowledge that pornography is creating a very predatory setting for young women. And there's tons of videos that parents can go watch on how to protect their children when it comes to social media. Pornography has just made our society so predatory and hateful towards women.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think especially when it's over phone, you know, like text or message, whatever the platform is of social media, it's like made the predators so much more bold. You know what I mean? Like even if you're talking about a teenage boy in your class, like I cannot fathom like back in the 90s, like a teenage boy in my class coming up to me and just like asking me to like take a picture of myself. You know what I mean? Where now that's like a commonplace. I'm like, the audacity, like the boldness, like I can't even get over that part of it sometimes, you know?
Right. Well, and the fact that you'll have grown men approaching not even younger than teenage girls for it. Mm-hmm. So recognize that the boundaries that God has set for sex, that they are not only what is glorifying and honoring to him, they are what's healthiest and best for us. And when we as society follow that design, we create a society that honors women and protects women and values them.
That almost sounds like empowerment.
Yeah, like actual empowerment. Right. Living like by God's design actually brings about empowerment. Who would have thunk it? Whenever we are partaking in a sin, we are giving our seal of approval on it. And we see this in Romans 1. So by watching porn, you know, you are going outside of God's design and you are encouraging others to do the same. Even if you never go recommend that video to your friend, by watching that video, it is gaining popularity within that system's algorithms, encouraging more videos of that type to be created. Even though you're not sleeping with that person, you have to remember that just by watching that type of content, you are giving your seal of approval on it. And you are saying, hey, it's totally okay for people to commit this sin, as we see in Romans. So there was a time in Israel's history where they got to the point where they didn't even know how to blush anymore. Like, it was just so natural for these sins to happen. They had no shame. They had become so desensitized to these issues. And the scary part is that the same thing can happen to us. You know, the more and more that we participate in a sin, desensitize ourselves to it, and it becomes less and less taboo. And I think that's honestly been the goal of our culture today, is to constantly push it on us, push it on our young people, to where it's just normal now. Everybody in the world must live this way, you know, and it's just not.
Yeah. And I think that is a very scary place to be, where we are so desensitized, or where we don't even blush anymore, because there will come a point in time where God will hand us over to our desires and we will stop being convicted of it even. You know what I mean? Like, that you see that happen often in the Old Testament, you know, like, okay, you want a king, fine. Or, you know, like when, or in the New Testament, when it talks about God gave them over to their desires, like after so many warnings, after so many of the prophets coming and telling them to repent, like there's going to come a time where God's going to be like, okay, and he'll hand you over to it. And then you're like, that's when you're really in trouble, when you're not even convicted anymore.
Right. We need to talk about the correct response when it comes to pornography, because like you said, we don't want to become desensitized to it. We want to stay passionate and fervent in our love for the Lord, and we want to stay on guard. Psalm 101, 2 through 7, I was reading it the other day, and it's just such a great passage. Because what we see the psalmist doing here is the exact same response that we can have when it comes to dealing with sexual sins. Because in this passage, he chooses to align himself with God. He wants to live a life that is built on integrity. He vows to not put anything sinful or bad in front of his eyes. He vows to take away all of his sinful desires and just throw them away so that he couldn't be tempted. He does not want to participate with those who do these wicked things. And we see him taking active steps and even destroying the temptations within his life. I would really encourage you guys to go read it. It's Psalm 101, 2 through 7. We just don't have time to read it now, and I really wish we could. But the psalmist replaced all of these bad things within his life, and he replaced them with good things. So we have to be intentional, and sometimes we have to take radical steps to avoid sin and to help others do the same, because pornography is absolutely deadly, and it can lead to a lot of other sins on top of all of the physical and mental and emotional harm that it can cause us.
So glad that we're coming to this part of the episode to kind of to close on what we can do, because there is hope. Like, it does not matter how deep you are into this, whether it's something that has been a habit for a long time or something you've only just been maybe tempted by. But there is always hope. God is such a healer and such a restorer that he absolutely will deliver you from this sin and forgive you and all of that. So I just wanted to say that, like, to offer, like, that there is, like, to know that there is that hope.
And in Christ, we are conquerors, and he gives us healing and he gives us forgiveness. I'll be honest, this is something I have struggled with in the past. So it absolutely just breaks my heart to know that there are so many other women who were like me, who never had anyone to go to, who never could talk about it because pornography was a man's issue. It didn't affect women at all. That's nonsense.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some practical tips, because you guys know us, we love to get practical. So if you are finding yourself or a friend or a loved one in this struggle, please do not despair. You are not powerless. You can be forgiven and you can be healed. Jesus loves you and he will forgive you if you repent. So I know porn sometimes can seem like this undefeatable monster, just like stabbing holes into you and you cannot escape, but you are not alone. So as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. He can heal the wounds that have been caused by pornography, and he can empower us to fight. So here's some quick tips on how you can help win this battle against pornography and help your friends and your loved ones win as well. So let's go. All right. Tip number one, go work out. Boom.
Yeah. That is a huge one. I mean, there is research on that as well about the just all the endorphins and everything that is released chemically in the brain. If you are having the urge to watch porn or to engage in it in any way, like literally go work out. Like chances are the urge, the thought, the feeling that you're having is going to have much less intensity if you go and work out.
Yes. And that's why this one is so powerful. Next would be to listen or sing worship songs, pray, read scripture. If you're busy thinking about Jesus, it's going to be really hard to sin. Just saying.
Right. Just in general, right?
Just in general.
Not even more.
Yeah. Next, identify your triggers. What happens right before you feel that temptation to go watch porn? For a lot of people, they have had a really bad day. They feel bad about themselves. They have all of these things that they turn to porn thinking this will help me feel better, when in fact it, as we see, have seen from the scientific studies, it makes you feel worse.
This is a huge one too. So yeah, when you are identifying your triggers, just to be mindful that, like you were saying, Kat, like there is external and internal. So external might be like, oh, you saw somebody attractive, or, you know, something of that, something like that. Or you saw a certain movie with a certain whatever romantic scene. That's external. Internal, maybe you're feeling lonely. Maybe you're feeling bored. Maybe you're feeling stressed. All of those are triggers. So yeah, just wanted to throw that out there. And then have a plan. Make a plan for each trigger.
Yes.
Not only know what it is, but okay, write out what are you going to do when that happens.
Yes. Get that action plan in place. These are just simple ways that you can empower yourself. Identify the trigger, get an action plan. That way, as soon as you start feeling a certain way, you know what to do. All right. So the next thing would be to get an accountability partner, join a support group. Some churches are offering Christian and biblical counseling. See if your church does that. Another idea could be to keep your days busy. If you find yourself feeling this temptation during downtime, schedule that day out. Make yourself busy.
Yes. Yeah. Keeping a schedule is a great, great thing. I think just in general, when you're taking care of yourself, that includes exercise. We mentioned that one, but even just making sure you're well rested, that you're eating food that is relatively healthy, right? We tend to make better life choices when we are well rested, well fed, you know, all of those things.
Absolutely. Another idea could be to download an app such as Covenant Eyes or Fortify. There's a lot of different filtering softwares out there that you can check out. They all work a little bit differently. So see if you can find one that works best for you. I think another really big thing is to change the environment in which you normally consume porn. So if that is the bedroom for you and you're having that temptation, avoid your room at all costs. Go elsewhere, like to the gym. Even better, go call your accountability partner, text them.
Just got to be like Joseph and just like flee,
run away.
So that might be like taking a walk around the block, getting again that fresh air, that activity, going for a drive, listening to, you know, like jam out in the car, windows down, jam out. You know what I mean? You know, but changing the environment for sure is very helpful.
Yes, absolutely. So I think another good thing is to find ways to serve and sacrifice for others. If your church is doing a volunteer anything, go volunteer. Whether that's like a food pantry, whether that's going door to door to hand out gospel tracts, cleaning the parking lot, whatever your church is doing, go serve. It, even if your church is not currently doing anything, there are a lot of needs within our communities that need to be met.
Yeah. And with all of these, the more that we do these things, when we are triggered, when we have those urges, like we are retraining our brain. Like the more that we don't give into that, it's like the temptation, not that it won't be there in the future, but over time it becomes less intense. So the more that you are able to do this, it is really like you're rewiring your brain. So that when you have a trigger, you will be more like your first thought isn't going to be to use porn. It's going to be to do one of these things. So whether that's serving or any of the other things that we just talked about.
Right, right. I think another very smart thing is to know that whether you or someone else has been consuming or creating pornography, that your enemy knows you. So what do I mean by that? There is such amazing, it's not amazing, it's scary, tracking software, tracking stuff out there within all of the different websites. So if you've been viewing pornography on your phone and you visit a certain website, there are trackers and things like that. So it can become very hard to kind of break away from that habit because of technology. So this is really where a filtering software can come in handy to help with those things. But to remember that the enemy does know you. So if you struggle with viewing certain types of pictures on Instagram or receiving special Snapchats, we'll say, having a filtering software can be really beneficial. But just know that you might have to take some radical steps because of our phones and the tracking software. The enemy does know you.
I really like the one. And I know we've said, of course, prayer and reading scripture, but also like memorizing scripture.
Yes.
Like if there's a particular verse that that maybe applies to, you know, the struggle that you've had in this area, like memorize that, put it up everywhere where you can see it. Like just really just pour over it and meditate on it.
Right. Those are some of just some different things that you can do or advice that you can give someone else who's going through this on practical ways to combat pornography. Amazing tips that you can use to help them in their battle. Because to me personally, that's really the driving force behind this episode of why I wanted to do it. And I'm so thankful that Nicole and I are able to talk about these things with you because, oh my goodness, I can remember growing up and never having like just being terrified to like tell anyone about this. Because like I said, it was not a thing that the church talks about, and really still they really don't talk about it when it comes to pornography and women, but the numbers are crazy high and they're only increasing. So yeah, I'm so grateful we were able to do this episode. So if you are struggling with pornography, please, please go to Christ and repent and try these tips. If you know someone within your life who's struggling, be there for them and bear their burdens, support them, pick them up, and show them that you love them, because this is a hard sin to fight. Any sexual sin is a hard sin to fight.
Right.
So I'm really glad that we got to talk about this episode. If you guys enjoyed this episode, please let Nicole and I know. You can leave a show review. You can send us an email. You can connect with us on social media at The Biblical Woman. We've got Facebook. We've got Instagram. We've got TikTok. Just connect with us and let us know if this episode was beneficial for you or not. And thank you for letting us talk about it. Like, this creates an environment where women don't have to struggle anymore, where we can be there for one another and we can be the spiritual family that Christ has called us to be.
Yeah. Can we close with what I think is just one of the most hopeful verses in the Bible?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 15:56-57. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.